We'd like to consider the thought being connected. I cherish being connected, and there are a lot of different ways to be connected. Yes. And I know some of the ways of communication are, in this day and time, beyond what the world has probably ever seen before. And one simple way to stay connected is a cell phone. And I have to admit, that's one of the items that, perhaps one of the few items that if I'm halfway to town and recognize that I've forgotten it, I'll probably turn around and go back and get it. It just seems like it's a source of comfort just to know that you have contact with the family, that if something is going on, somebody can call you, and it's just quite a feeling not to have your cell phone. Now, how we did it in the days when there weren't cell phones may be a mystery, but now that we have them, it's quite hard to do without them. And then people have web pages, there's the newspapers, there's Facebooks, there's Google, there's YouTube, there's the telephone, there's just so many different ways to communicate. And we find that people seem to be getting more and more connected. And our world seems to be getting more and more connected. It's not too hard of a thing anymore. Years ago, it seemed impossible, but you could actually stand in one room and you can view both oceans as you're sitting right there in one room. And so there are things that happen all the way across the world, and you might be able to know about those events within minutes of them actually happening, because there's so much communication in the world that we're actually living in. And I think that how that after our election took place, and possibly even as it was going on, but after it took place, there were several nations that weighed in to give their thoughts about what happened over here in the United States. Because I guess so many of them were following the politics and following things that were going on, because they were in some ways connected up with what was happening right here in our country. So we can know and understand that it's a good thing to be connected. At least I like being connected. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, we'd like to begin reading there some. And we find that there's a great disconnect going on, but God is there to sending forth the word to cause there to be some connection. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a voice, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. So we see that there were many, many bones just scattered about. And as he began to prophesy to them, bone began to come to its bone. There are actually places for bones in the body. It's not just a matter of having a bone, but a bone needs to be in the right place. Now in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we begin to look at verse 10, and you begin to think about the spiritual body of Christ. There's a place for each and every one that is in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body." See, by one Spirit, baptized into one body. So we're all a part of each other. We're all connected. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to all drink under one Spirit. For as the body is one member, as the body is not one member, but many, if the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body?" And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him." So God has a place for each and every one of us in the body. You know, and down in verse 26, he says, And where one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You know, that's a very peculiar thing, that we can actually be connected one to another. You know, when one is feeling pain, that we all can feel that pain. Not just that, well, they're going through a lot of pain, but being able to actually enter into their suffering, being able to actually share a part of that pain. You know, and when one is rejoicing, it says all the members rejoice with it. You know, when there's a disconnect, then maybe one is happy and the other is sad. A little bit like our country is right now. You know, there's a whole lot of happy people, and there's a whole lot of sad people. There's, because there's an actual disconnect. You know, but we don't want to be disconnected as we go along the way. You know, it means much to be able to actually enter into somebody else's grief. To enter into somebody else's sorrow. To actually have a concern for what somebody else is going through. In 1 Samuel, the first chapter, we find that Eli is there, and Hannah is praying. And she's there and she's praying and she's going through some deep tribulations. You find there in 1 Samuel, this man comes up to the place to give offerings. But Hannah had no children. And it says in verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. She was in some trouble. And it says, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then her husband said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better unto thee than 10 sons? You know, what a sensitive thing to say. So Hannah rose up after they'd eaten at Shiloh and after they'd drunk. You know, seemed like he didn't have an understanding of the pain, the grief that she was suffering. You know, we all know what pain is. We all know what suffering is. But can we understand somebody else's pain? You know, and I begin to think sometime how that God has his own way of actually teaching you and I how we can begin to understand how somebody else feels. You know, maybe you're going through life and maybe there's someone that's lost a loved one, and maybe you can come up to him and say, I know how you feel. And maybe you really mean it. You know, when somebody close to you is taken away, it brings in a new perspective. Then you can begin to really understand where they are and the things that they actually dealt with as they went through life. You know, but Hannah was there. And it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying. You know, she was praying before God that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart only. In her heart. Only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. You know, sometimes we just don't understand what's going on in someone's heart. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away your wine. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. See, completely misjudged what was actually going on there. She was of a sorrowful spirit. But he thought that surely she's drunken with wine. Put away your wine. Do we sometimes misjudge people as we go along the way? Or maybe sometime we find that, well, you know, I'm just busy with life. I don't really have time to get in with what's going on with somebody else. You know, long as God is blessing me, well, everything is going well. You know, and sometimes we can just go right on our merry way and not think of others and their plight and the things that are actually going on with them. In Luke, the 16th chapter, we read, there was a certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know, I imagine he had a great concern about everything that was going on around him. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate and full of sores, just laid at his gate. I don't know who brought him out there, but he was actually laid at his gate. There he was, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. You know, I believe there was something there he said. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Seemed like the dogs could kind of understand what's going on with him. You know, sometimes it's sad that his people maybe We can't sense what's going on with a person, but sometimes the animals seem to be connected and know what's going on with them. Sometimes they take, maybe they might have cats in nursing homes. Sometimes they do that. And they say that these, I'm not saying it would just be a bad omen, but sometime when someone's about to pass, the cats will come and spend extra time in their room. You know, this rich man, he didn't seem to recognize anything about Lazarus. Just busy with his own life, going on his own way. He's not seemingly feeling anything that Lazarus is feeling. And it came to pass, the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. But it was just a total and a complete disconnect is what I would call it. Are you connected to those that are around you? Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, whereunto shall we liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned for you. You have not wept. Seem like whatever page they're on a different page. Just can't seem to get on the same page together. You know, when they spoke about John the Baptist, that he came eating and drinking wine. And they said he had the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They said, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners. So it seemed like either way that it was, there was no real connection. But you know, I think of a song number 230. And we'd like to look at that song. This song says, as sweet strains of heavenly music blend in one harmonious sound, so the members of Christ's body in blessed unity are found. One in mind, one in spirit, one in doctrine, faith, and love, one in name, O precious union, like the angels host above. You know, it says love, the theme of all their praises. You know, God wants us to be intertwined with one another. God wants us to actually be connected to one another. You know, it's good to be able to pick up your cell phone and give somebody a call. You know, how are you doing? Haven't heard from you for a while. Just want to stay connected. This summer, this fall, as fall was coming on, we had our 40th class reunion from graduation. Got to go there and see a lot of my classmates and spend some time with them, and it was good to get back connected with them again, because a lot of them I kind of lost contact with them. A lot of them, you know, get on the internet and a lot of those different things, and I'm not really on that page yet, so I was kind of getting left out. But they finally sent me a notice in the mail, and so I went to the reunion. You know, it was good to see them again. We could go back and discuss a lot of things that happened long years ago. You know, 40 years, that's a pretty good space of time. You know, and they brought back some memories to my mind as reconnected with one another. And one of them said, remember, I used to call you Rev. And I was like, well, I don't remember that. You know, but there's a lot of things as we begin to actually reconnect. You know, and sometimes as people, we need to reconnect with one another. You know, sit down, spend some time with one another. More than just a, hello, how are you? I'm glad things are going well. See, a lot of times we don't really connect. I saw a lady, she was on her way into the Quick Trip. I didn't know her. But she was kind of walking along and seemed like she was having a struggle. So I spoke to her. And you know how you speak to people and you're saying, hello, how are you? And she kind of gave me a smile and she said, fine, and she went right on. But it's pretty obvious that she wasn't really doing fine. You know, but I wasn't really connecting with her. And she went right on with her problems. You know, and sometimes there are people that are right about us that we're not actually connecting with. And there they are in the midst of all their troubles. And, you know, we're not connecting with it. But I'm, you know, the word says, you know, bear ye one another's burdens. Yes, amen. So it's a part that we need to actually get engaged with, to where we begin to actually feel their burden. Begin to actually get up under their troubles. Remember one time years ago, I was traveling with my younger brother Nathaniel, riding in the back of my grandpa's truck. Back in them days, you could do that. Anyway, it had a sort of cabbie over the back of it, and they had the back flap up. We had some bean shooters where we could shoot things out of the back. And I was right there by the back, and so as I was right there, I shot, and when the rubber band went released, it knocked the bean flip right out of my hand. And I sit there and I watched it. It went down and hit the ground and seemed like it just started scooting away. So I went back up to the front of the truck and the back of the truck there, and I was kind of troubled. And my brother Nathaniel asked me, what happened? And I said, it fell out back there. And I don't know, he just kind of went berserk back there, and he just started jumping up and down. He started making all kind of noise. And, you know, it wasn't long till Grandpa pulled over, and he come back and he said, did somebody fall out? What happened? But see, it's because he actually got under the burden that I had. You know, and Grandpa backed up, and I got out and got that little bean flipper. But, you know, but had he not gotten under the burden, it just would have went on that way. You know, there were some men one time, they had a friend that actually needed some help along the way, and I don't know that he could actually help himself, but, you know, they got under his burden, and they went up there on the rooftop, bless your heart, and they cut a hole in the roof, and so they let him down in front of Jesus, and the Lord healed him, praise the Lord. You know, but they were concerned about him. Where is our concern about those that are around us? You know, I'm not saying that we don't have a concern, but I'm saying, are we actually connected the way that, you know, God would have us to be connected? Or can there be someone that we actually know that they're so deeply burdened and they're actually going through so much, but, you know, we don't feel it at all? I believe we should feel something. And maybe sometimes we should feel a whole lot more than we're actually feeling. You know, sometimes you get it. You know, maybe somebody comes up to you sometime and they say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm doing fine. But then they say, you've just been on my mind a lot lately. And it makes you to know that God has actually placed you on their heart, praise the Lord. See, God is thinking about you. See, the word says in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it says, speaking of Christ, that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But see, he was despised. Have you ever been despised? Christ knows what you're going through. See, he was rejected. You know, and sometimes we can spend a lot of time rejecting each other. But I want you to remember that Christ was rejected. See, the head, the chief cornerstone, was actually rejected, praise the Lord. He was a man of sorrows. He understands what it's like when you lose a loved one, when you're going through your troubles. He understands all about it, praise the Lord. He actually knows what you're dealing with. You know, the preacher might not be able to find the right words to give you any comfort, but I want to say that Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. You know, there might be others that forsake you and leave you all alone. And you just seem like you're carrying that burden all by yourself. But I want to tell you something that's written down in the Word of God, that we have not a high priest, praise the Lord, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, and then it begins to give us the instruction to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may be able to find help and mercy in a time of need. See, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. There's mercy. Amen. And find grace to help in a time of need. You know how often it might be that maybe we're just a little bit like the prophet over there when he saw the lady, you know, and we see people in trouble, but, you know, all we see is what's going on the outside. And so all we say sometimes, you know, they're back on drugs again. Well, you know, they sure look bad, but, you know, we don't actually connect with where they are. May God help us. But if we can actually connect with where they are, we can perhaps by the grace of God begin to get a hold of them and lead them out of where they are. Being able to actually connect. You know, the word speaks about being knitted together. Yes. Knitted together. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, when one member suffer, we all suffer. You know, this to me is something that goes beyond the cell phones and the web pages and all the other different things. Those things are new, but some of these other things are old. But I want to say to you, they still work, praise the Lord. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and verse 25, there was a man going along. It seemed like I wrote this down wrong. But anyway, it's where the man came and he was healed. Maybe that's the 5th chapter. And the man got healed. And Elijah didn't want to take anything. So anyway, they went on their own way. And then Elijah's servant sent after him. And so he caught up with him. So Gehazi, over there in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot, to meet him and said, "It's all well." And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me saying, behold now, there's come unto me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of raiment." And Nahum said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged, "And a pound of talents and silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and laid upon two of his servants, and he bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand." See, when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. Everything going pretty smooth. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." I didn't go anywhere. I ain't did anything. And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee?" See, "Went not my heart with thee? When the men turned again from the chariot to meet thee." Somehow, this prophet actually had a connection. He realized something was going on. You know, how often it is sometimes that, you know, children are out somewhere about to get into trouble, and maybe mama don't know nothing, but mama down on her knees and praying, praise the Lord. You know, and seem like when they finally hear the story about a week later, you know, mama can realize that, yes, I remember I was praying that very night at 2:00 in the morning, and I'm so thankful that God spared your life. But see, it's actually better than a cell phone. Something there. But I believe that God wants us to bear one another's burden. Be there for one another. Think about long years ago. Uncle Leroy, as I called him, was out on our property hunting. He had a gun accident. Nobody knew. But he had a gun accident. They later found him late that night, rushed him to the hospital. But the thing about it was, Cousin Ardia, his wife, was on the job when it all happened. And when it happened, she got sick right there on the job. Seemed like something hit her. She got sick and had to go home. But see, when somebody else is troubled, when somebody else is in trouble, do we actually feel anything? One time years ago, not too long ago, but my mother was deathly ill. She'd been in intensive care. She was there for several days. She got out of intensive care. They put her in a room. I went by there to visit with her. And there she was this day when I went by there. You know, she's out of intensive care. She's thinking, well, you know, she's doing better now. There she was in intensive care. And so she was sitting up there and I was talking with her, and seemed like she was talking all right. But, you know, seemed like as she breathed, she just kind of had a little rattling there when she was breathing. I didn't know anything about a real death rattle. I never heard one before, but I didn't know just what it was. But, you know, the nurse came in, and so I questioned him about it. You know, what is that about her breathing? Why does it sound like that? And, you know, he just kind of played it off. Well, you know, it's not really anything, but it's just, you know, when they breathe, there's just a little rattling that takes place. Well, so there I am dealing with all this, watching my mother. And it's just like death is sitting down right there in the room with us. Right there in a chair over there. Well, I'm just waiting to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take her on out of here. Well, as I was sitting there, I got a phone call. And the phone call was Cousin Frances Chandler, praise the Lord. Some of you may remember her. But see, Mike, somehow she called that night. And she began to inform me, something I just don't feel right. Seemed like something's wrong. And she began to kind of question me. So I told her how my mother was doing. And she said, "That's what it is," something like that. "I'm going to go to prayer." You know, and she went to prayer, praise the Lord. In about 15 minutes, my mother stopped breathing like that. See, we need to be connected with one another. You know, maybe somebody way out there somewhere in the midst of a deep trial, in the midst of a deep test. Maybe they're actually going through some rough places in life. Are we actually connected enough to God where God can touch us and tell us your brother is in trouble? Pray for him. Being connected. Being able to actually get through to God. Praise the Lord. There was a sailor way back in the days of World War II. MacArthur was down there trying to take the Philippines back. Well, he was needing some help. So there was a general, and I don't remember the general's name, but he was on his way bringing help to MacArthur, and he had about five different ships heading that way. This man apparently had been sailing for a long time, but anyway, he began to lose his bearing about what he should be doing and different things. Well, as it were, they began to sail and seemed like they were set sail. They heard about a typhoon coming. It seemed like he'd sail one way a little bit, and then he'd sail back another way a little bit, and finally it just seemed like he turned right toward the storm, right toward the typhoon or whatever it was. Well, one of his sailors came and began to talk to him and said, shall I tell the men to get up, put on their life jackets? And he said, what are you doing? You're trying to scare the men? So the guy just kind of ignored him and just went and told the people, put on your life jackets. He didn't know what was going on. Told him, put on your life jackets. The men got to putting on their life jackets, and that big ship was out there in the sea, and it would turn, just seemed like all the way sideways. And then after a while, it would come and straighten back up, and it was just bouldering over and just kept doing like that. And finally, it just went over and it didn't come back up, and the thing started sinking. So the men jumped off and different things like that, and they were just out there in the sea. There they were, out there in the sea, in the darkness. All night long, not wondering, not knowing what's going to happen to them. Finally, the daybreak began to come. So there's several of these men together. And they saw a distant ship out there. And they began to make a lot of noise and do signs or do something. They got the ship's attention. They started toward them. They was way out there. They started toward them. But as they were coming toward them, the man felt something brush past him. And as he looked over, he saw the fin of a shark. And he began to realize this shark is hungry for some breakfast. So right there, I don't know what kind of man he was, but in the midst of his desperation, he called on God. You know, Jonah did some calling on God way down there in the belly of the fish, but he was able to actually get a connection. Can you get a connection with God in the midst of your troubles? It's important in life that you can get a connection with God. Yeah. This man began to pray. And he said, Lord, you done sunk our ship. We've been out in the water all night long. And now the sharks are getting ready to eat us. It just ain't right. You know, that shark swam on off. You know, like I say, I don't know what kind of man he was. But I believe he learned something about prayer. You know, and we need to be connected with God. You know, we need to actually be in a place that God can actually talk with us. You know, does God talk with you? Does God have any effect upon your life? You know, the Word of God speaks, but when the Holy Spirit has come, even the Spirit of truth that shall come from the Father, he shall lead you and guide you in all truth, praise the Lord. Something about him, he's going to actually lead you and guide you in all truth. That's a wonderful thing. Do you have that? Working actively within your lives. St. John, the 16th chapter, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. Is the Spirit actively working in your life? You know, the songwriter said, every hour for Jesus, and whate'er I do, I must have his approval on me. If I do heart service with the Lord in view, he will bless me and keep me free. See, whatever I do, I must have his approval. Have you ever been waiting for God's approval? Amen. Maybe you're getting ready to go somewhere. You got it all planned out, everything you want to do, and you got it all up in your mind what you want to do. And so you got the car, you got the money, you got the time. Everything is lining up. The only thing is you haven't gotten approval yet. Do you wait or do you go? I say you better wait for an approval. You know, there was a man one time. He was busy packing and getting everything ready and just rushing and going on, you know, and finally the Lord told him, if you wait, I'll go with you. See, there's something there. You know, that if we don't have God's stamp of approval, to me that's time to hold back. You should have that connection in your life. You should actually have it actively working. That if there's something out there, the Holy Spirit can actually get a hold of you and let you know, don't do it. Have his approval right there as you go along the way. You know, I think about the songwriter, keep me near thee. And verse 3 says, help me live so near thee, Jesus, that thy whispers I may hear. You know, the word of God says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You know what dear children are like? You know, dear children that actually hear what you're saying. You know, sometimes they be stiff-necked and hard-hearted and, you know, they can just plow right on and go on and do what they want to do. But it says there in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be connected with God. You know, it says there in the song, let me help me live so near thee, Jesus, that thy whispers I may hear. You know, maybe you're talking to somebody and you're kind of getting involved with it, and you finally a whole bunch of words come to your mind. You're just ready to pull them out of your back pocket and let them go. And the Spirit of God checks you. Can you actually stop right there, or do 5 or 6 words go ahead and slip out? And you know, well, Lord, I was trying to put on the brakes, but I just couldn't quite get it in time. See, so thy whispers I may hear. Let me feel thine arms around me when the hand of danger's near. You know, the Lord is right there to help us in the midst of all our troubles, all our trials, all our tests. You know, and when we're going along through life and we see others in their peril and in the midst of all their troubles, how does that actually affect us? Do we actually feel anything? You know, I think about it. I had a quick trip not long ago. And as I was there, I was getting ready to go inside and pay for my gas or something. And I saw right there by the trash can, there's 2 coats there. I'm wondering, you know, what's going on with that? Why would there be some coats right here? But presently, I went back out to my truck, and there was a lady in front of me. She went to the coats. She put something in one of the coats. I thought, well, what's going on? She took off and left. Well, it seems to me the best I could get of it, she was taking coats there and leaving them for people that might be wandering in the area that might need something. You know, maybe sometime we don't know just what to do, but do you have a mind to do anything? Praise the Lord. Do you feel their pain? Do you feel their suffering? Over in Luke, the 10th chapter, it speaks over there that, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. What does it mean to be half dead? There he was, half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Priest is supposed to be a man of God. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. How many people have we passed by on the other side? And likewise the Levite. When he came to the place, he looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he actually went to him. He reached out, praise the Lord, bound up his wounds, began to actually try to do something that was within his power to make things better for him. Pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn and took care of him. He took care of him. Remember, the man was half dead, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, take care of him. I don't know where he'd be taken today, where he's taken him to a rehabilitation somewhere, where he's taken him to a nursing home or taken him to the hospital and putting him in intensive care. But he's saying, take care of him. And then he says, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I don't know what you're thinking about in today's terms. Maybe you're talking about a bill for $100,000, but he's saying, I will repay thee. But he's connected to the man. He sees his plight. He sees the trouble that he's actually going through. May God help you and I as we go through life that we'll be connected to one another. That we'll be connected to our fellow man as we meet them in their plight and their distresses of life. And in the midst of all those things, we'll be connected to God. You know, they say that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. I don't know if all that's true or not. But certainly he wasn't connected. He didn't seem to have no burden for the plight of others and what they were actually dealing with. I guess as long as things seemed to be going well with him, he went on his way. Seems like there were 3 little boys talking. And I don't know what happened, but one little boy spoke up and he said, my dad knows the mayor. And I guess, I'm sure you all have probably heard this story, and I may not have it just right. But the other little boy, I guess he spoke up and said, my dad knows the governor. And then the one spoke up and said, my dad knows God. You know, the songwriter said, get in touch with God, my brother. May the Lord help us each one that we'll be connected with God. Pray for me.